All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, alongside of me, there's Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back. Welcome back. We are your therapist for this evening for NFL Talk, and we want you to join in. Make sure you hit the comment section down below. Make sure you comment that you're here, that you want to talk about whatever it may be, whether it be about your struggling team, whether it be about your team on the prowl for playoffs, or maybe you just got a simple question about what's going to happen in the near future. But we have had one heck of a whirlwind of a season, and you could really help us out because we are growing like crazy on YouTube through Grumblings Media. Make sure you head over to the channel there. Make sure you hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you're there. Might as well. And it's totally free to do all this. I know it's absolutely amazing, but it is. It's absolutely free. We're doing that for you guys, of course. Make sure you share it to all your friends and family members also. And you can also take us on the go and stay in the know of the NFL realm. Anywhere you go, wherever you get your podcasts, of course. And if you want to check out more great content like this, I kind of like to call it the G-Spot. Head over to grumblingsmedia.com, the one-stop shop where you can get all these greatest articles for sports, entertainment, political, whatever you're into, and other great podcasts like ours.
All right, Joe, way to go. Way to bring it in there. Bring it with the fire. I like it.
That's it.
All right, man.
We're all about the fire.
All about the fire. So, yeah, this, again, season's been pretty crazy. A lot of ups and downs, and we're going to talk about some fire here tonight. Let's bring up the 49ers here. How about the 49ers lose again?
Dude.
Well, it's kind of funny, too. It's like we call this here Niners digging even deeper hole here. And once Joe and I found out, too, that Brock Purdy was injured enough, you know, with that shoulder, he wasn't going to play. We pretty much knew that they were kind of doomed for this this game. But that's how crucial games like that Seattle game are. And that's what I thought they were going to be able to get a victory there. And now you don't. And now you've got back-to-back losses. And the rest of this season is really tough here. And they've got six more games to go. And they're on the outside looking in right now, Joe. It looks really bad for this 49ers franchise.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing, too. You look at – they had to start Brandon Allen.
We all know who the
17-29, 199 yards, one touchdown, one pick. But this offense did not look the same. Without Brock Purdy there, it was a shell of itself, and it really showed on the football field. I mean, they only put up 10 points. I mean, that just can't happen, especially against an opponent like the Packers that have been known to kind of like rack up points here and there. It hasn't happened too often this season, but when they're hitting on all cylinders, Jordan Love played a really decent game. Like, he didn't play anything excellent, but he did enough, and the running attack was there. The Niners defense had a hard time as the game went on. After they got their early lead and they just kind of kept that lead going, now they were able to utilize Josh Jacobs and just run the ball down their throats and eat away clock and just put up more points, final being 38-10. They literally blew out the 49ers, and this is the scary part of the season now for the Niners. Is your quarterback not going to be there in Brock Purdy, your starter. You got to try to figure out how to scrape a win out without having your starting guy. I know it's difficult, but you've had a team that has had to struggle through injuries and then starting to make the turn on getting healthier. So you're expecting them to kind of get back into this playoff race, and then all of a sudden your starting quarterback goes down. But they still were not able to overcome it. They had sustained yet another loss. And things are not looking good for the Niners at this point.
Yeah, Joe. And we talked about this before the season started. What kind of impact were the 49ers going to have on defense with losing some of those up front type of dudes? And you're seeing it now. You know, they've always kind of struggled with injuries throughout the season, whether it be Debo, Christian McCaffrey, things like that, and they've been able to manage because of the weaponry that they have, but then also that defense. Now you see that without Nick Bosa, again, he was injured in that game,
another
too,
critical,
so he was out
of
that game. The difference that with him not being there, even when he is there, he's trying to do it all himself, or if it's just him and Fred Warner. That secondary has been giving up a lot of big plays as well on top of it. And like you said, that running game, they could not stop the running game at all. in this last game here against the Green Bay Packers here.
Also remember that, you know, Charvarius Ward was out, the number one corner. So that they were missing key components offensively, defensively, and it really, really showed. And they weren't able to kind of create a unique game plan to at least slow down the Packers and give them a chance to win at the end. They just didn't execute at all on any level of the playing field.
Now, with looking at the 49ers here, they're 5-6, so still within the division, they're still within reach because, right. Again, the Seattle Seahawks lose, the Cardinals lose, the Rams lose, you know, it's like, so they still have a shot with this thing still, despite, you know, being, you know, playing so poorly here. But like I said, the rest of their schedule is pretty rough because they do have the Rams again, the Bills coming up next week. You know, the Bears, who knows where you're going to get out of that, but you also have the Lions and the Dolphins. So not exactly easy ones, excuse me, with how they've been playing here. But two, if you look at this season and kind of look at it, do the 49ers need to kind of make a change here somewhere? Or even if this season doesn't pan out and they don't return to the Super Bowl, what's to be done in the offseason to try and fix this situation here? Because it kind of looks – they don't look like that 49er team of old, and almost like they've gotten defeated. They're carrying the defeat from last year's Super Bowl loss into this season almost, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's anything really wrong. I mean, you also got to remember that, you know, obviously like through the middle part of the season – they were hit heavily with the injury bug. They were missing a lot of key pieces. And everyone will point to the whole Christian McCaffrey thing, but that actually turned out to not be that detrimental with the emergence of Jordan Mason and how well he stepped in and played very well. So that loss was a little bit alleviated, you know, with Mason in his emergence. So overall, like now that the team is finally getting healthy, you know, except obviously like this week they were missing key components like we mentioned earlier. But I don't think necessarily you go into the offseason and think, oh, the ship is sinking. We got to bail. Everyone's got to bail. We got to start this thing over. We got to get rid of some, you know, some players. We got to add some new ones. And that's going to be the remedy. This team is built to win now. When they are all out there, this is a very difficult team to beat. Now, unfortunately, this past week, Purdy wasn't able to go. Their number one corner wasn't able to go in Ward. You know, Nick Bosa wasn't able to go. So I'm not – I know what I'm trying to say is I'm not trying to make excuses because those guys weren't there, but I don't think Niner fans should panic because this is a very well-built team. It is more than capable of getting back into this race, of pushing forward, and then even if – let's just say worst-case scenario, right? They make wild card because I still think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're out of it. Right. I think they're definitely still going to make it. But let's say worst case scenario, they're the last seed in the NFC and they just creep in. But once you make it to the playoffs, it's a whole new season then. And this team thrives on that pressure. And I think they would rise to the occasion when it came to it. So I really don't have any concerns as of yet about this team, about, do I think they're going to – I still think they're going to make it. I think this is just one of those kind of things where it's a big speed bump. You know, last couple of weeks, they you know, and when things get steadied out, like going into this week, there's an opportunity for them to kind of get back on track this week and keep it going.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of strange here too, because you've known this team for being so good for years now, and with the talent that they have there, to see them just missing on some of these games and interdivision games. You know, they lost to the Cardinals, they lost to the Rams, they lost to the Seahawks, and these are those wins that you need to kind of pick up here, because that's when you're going to gain ground, because the way the division is heading out right now with being 5-6 and things like that. Some of these other teams, you know, they're just really, you know, look at the Eagles and the Lions. They're just the Titans of the NFC right now. And, you know, I don't know if anybody's even close to kind of those two teams. Maybe the Vikings if they get rolling again. But besides that, you know, you're looking at the Seahawks, you're looking at the Falcons, Packers. any given Sunday, it seems like those teams, you don't know what team you're going to get. And now you want the Commanders on a slide right now. We talked about them being one of the dangerous teams, a few weeks ago.
Right.
And they're slipping. I thought for sure they would have had a win against Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys. And they almost did. But, some mishaps here and there, and that's how the games go, and especially with those divisional games. They do have a shot, like you said. But
it's going to be tough this week, though.
It is tough,
I was just looking ahead.
Against, like, the contenders. Like I said, the Buffalo Bills right here next week.
I was looking ahead to see who they were going to play, and they're playing the Bills in Buffalo, too.
Yeah.
So they have to travel from San Fran to Buffalo. And after two bad weeks, and what they were able to accomplish, like now you have to go, now you have to travel a long ways. It's not even just like it's around the corner type of deal on the West Coast.
Yep.
You got to travel all the way to the Northeast, and then you're going to have to play the Buffalo Bills, which are one of the hot teams right now.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a tough one for sure.
Yeah. I mean, this, you got to look at this as the Super Bowl right now. This has got to be their Super Bowl game, because if you looked at this game, these two teams early on in the season, you could have said that, hey, maybe it's going to be a San Francisco Buffalo Bills Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That's what Buffalo's looking at. They're looking at to get back, get there, get past the Chiefs, but they just beat the Chiefs, knock them off out of being undefeated. They're going to be bringing it right here. They had coming off a bye week, so they're rested. And you're coming off of multiple losses, struggling here, trying to get things together, trying to stay healthy. This is everything. I think the season is on the line with this game, and is the biggest game of their season right now.
It definitely is. It definitely 100%. And that's the thing, is like they have to try to turn it around. I don't know. Like, now that they have to play Buffalo, they had opportunities to win games that they probably should have won. Being against Seattle, I know none of these teams are pushovers. Like, Seattle wasn't going to roll over and just let them win. Right. Green Bay wasn't going to do it either. So. Mm-hmm. But they needed those wins.
Yeah.
They needed to at least have that two-win buffer before you go to Buffalo.
Right.
Or at least split it. Even if you had just one win out of those two games, before you head to Buffalo, to give you just like an insurance win, if you will, before you had to go against Buffalo. Because that team is playing such good football right now at every level, offense, defense, special teams, that they're one of those teams that you don't want to face right now. You just don't as a club. And, this is going to be a very, very difficult matchup for them. I don't know if they're going to come away with a win, honestly, because of the way they've been playing. And I get it. No, when you lose your starting quarterback, that is devastating, first of all. So hopefully Purdy will get healthy, will be able to come back this week. At least that'll give them a good shot to compete and to be in the running there.
Mm-hmm. And one of the key factors, I think, for this team here is that defense. It is in on third downs, 26th ranked in the NFL on third down and in the red zone. Red zone, they're giving up the touchdowns here, 29th ranked. And on offense, when they get down there, they're settling for field goals as well and not get scoring here. They're 25th in the red zone. So you see the team moving. You see them move down the field. But, again, it's not turning into anything major for them like they used to. You know they would just come right down and score. And that's what they're lacking here. And like you said, big game this week. But then coming up, they need to get those other wins against their divisional rivals here, because if they do happen to lose – again, to one of these rivals, and they're tied, that team has a tiebreaker. So they're out, and like you said, trying to catch a wild card in this one could be difficult. So, all right, so there you go, the 49ers, something different here. I mean, it's something, unseen, traveled waters here, different for the 49ers. Right. We'll see if they can get back. I mean, this will be one of those surprise teams from last year that don't make it. We'll be shocked here with this one. And then, on the other side, the Bengals here, too, they're still on the outside looking in, but still technically have a shot.
They do.
So, this is what the NFL is, and it's getting crazier here, and we're going to see more of this coming weekend. Because, by the way, everybody, happy Thanksgiving out there, early to everybody out there. It's going to be Thanksgiving week and weekend. We've got tons of football here Thursday, Friday, Black Friday. There's a game on Black Friday, Amazon.
You don't have to watch that one. You already know what's going to happen there.
Right. It's kind of funny how Amazon, their normal night is Thursday night and they get booted. They're like, no, you guys have to move to Friday and do a game. And we're going to have our, standard ABC or NBC, Fox and CBS and then the Sunday Night Football. Like, it's tradition. Get the hell out of here.
It is what it is. It's tradition. Yeah. And for Amazon, it's like, oh, you don't pay us enough money to give you a Thursday game. So you're bumped to Black Friday.
Right, right.
You're going to have to deal with it. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Jeff Absolutely. Bezos. All right. So, Joe, we talked about this until it was like blue in the face a bunch of different times.
We have.
But,
haven't we?
But it's funny how it all panned out, though. You know, with Daniel Jones going into the office and said, hey, man, you benched me. I demand to be released.
I want to be released.
They're like, okay.
I don't blame him.
You know what I mean? But we talked about the scenario that they had to release him this year because, you know, they had already paid season. It was a better situation for both sides of this party here. But now what? You know what I mean? He clears waivers. He's healthy here, past the physical. So landing spots for Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. Here we've heard a bunch of different teams. We heard from Adam Schefter, you know, 10 teams had reached out to
There's
Daniel
been a bunch,
Jones
actually,
and things
yeah.
like that, having interest. Mm-hmm. But the funny scenario, I think, with this whole Daniel Jones thing is mm-hmm. – he's really taken into this free agency thing kind of funny because when you see Daniel Jones, everyone kind of looked at him as like, hey, he's a super nice guy, kind of reminds him of Eli. He's kind of big, tall, clumsy a little bit, but super nice. But now, like, when he's ready to hit, like, free agency, he's like, I want to go to do a contender, but I still want to be able to be a starter. And it's mm-hmm. like, dude, like, you just – played the worst football of your life, and the team has finally given up on you. That they cut you, you know, mid-season, a little later than mid-season, but right now, what makes you think that you're going to go to a contender right now and that they want you to even start, you know? I mean, so that doesn't even make sense because any contender has a starter right now. So what is the plan here? So
I mean, the plan really is just simple. Like, I know Daniel Jones is a little oblivious to this, and it's actually really bad timing for him. Because for him to kind of make claims and demands, kind of like say, oh, well, I want to go to a contender. I want a chance
Here's
to
my
start.
List.
You know what I mean? And those are the teams I want to go to. Well, it's the worst time to do that because now if you said like, oh, I'll just wait till the end of the season. Then when free agency actually opens up, now I'll test it out and see what fit works for me. What gives me the best chance to not only be a starter, but also, can we be a winning team? You're right now towards the end of the season where teams are now looking, especially contenders. Contenders are looking for just added depth. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's going to end up being if he goes to a contender like Detroit, like the Vikings, like the Niners. And Niners are on the kind of like on the cliff right now. They're hanging on the edge just barely right now. So who knows if they're even going to pull the trigger to even go after Daniel Jones now. But then you also have teams that are not in the running, like the Raiders, who just lost Gardner Minshew for the year. And they don't have a clear-cut picture at quarterback for even the near future. You know, Aiden O'Connell has shown something, but he also hasn't cemented it. So, like, there's an opportunity there where Daniel Jones could be like, well, maybe I don't go to a contender. Maybe I go to a team that is in dire need of a quarterback, and I have a legit chance to maybe be the starter next year for them, if not this year, right now. So. There's only a few weeks left, you know, of this crazy regular season, and I think he just can't be too much – beggars can't be choosers at this point. So, yes, there's a lot of interest in you, but it's a lot of interested teams that really aren't contenders. There's a few, but honestly, Daniel, what's going to end up happening is if you go to a contender, you're going to be the backup. That's it.
Right.
You still have to learn the playbook, right? You know, you're going to be the emergency backup quarterback for the starter that's been there already. So you're not going to get a chance to jump on a canal. Like, you're going to have to bide your time, be the backup. And then if you really want a legit chance to start, you're going to have to change your motives here and go to a team that might really direly need you.
Right, and, you know, the names we've been hearing that, you know, are the key leaders for this are the Minnesota Vikings and the Baltimore Ravens, which I think is very intriguing to me. The Baltimore Ravens, I mean, yes, they've got Josh Johnson there, which I think still fits kind of the mold of what they mm-hmm. do offensively.
Yeah.
Now, you throw Daniel Jones in the mix, it's like, okay, he could probably learn that offense. He could do an RPO type of style. He can still run a little 100%. Bit. But, I mean, are you really gaining anything there? One, I don't know exactly. Maybe he could do better than Josh Johnson at this
100%,
point.
100%, bro.
But then also, What's in it for him? Is he really going to develop as a quarterback there? No. I don't really think so either. So
none of those places, Baltimore, Minnesota, you're not going there to start in the near future. Like, actually, and even if you're like, oh, well, Minnesota, they got Sam Darnold. Yeah, but everyone seems to be forgetting they drafted J.J. McCarthy. That's going to be the next guy in line to start for Minnesota. So, and if you want to go to Baltimore, Lamar's the guy for the – he's it.
Yeah.
He's not going nowhere.
MVP, so, yeah.
I can't see for the life of me for him to choose one of those teams. Like, let's just say it's Baltimore. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
He decides to sign with Baltimore, and apparently from Josina Anderson, one of the NFL insiders, she's saying that he's zeroed in already on a team, and he's going to announce it tomorrow. Now, we'll see if that all comes to life here, but if that's the case and you choose Baltimore, any one of these contending teams, you're not only the backup, but are you just kind of jumping on to ride the coattails, so to speak, to maybe hopefully get like a Super Bowl ring out of it and be the backup for 1 year? Because you're not signing a multi-year deal, because if you really want to start, it's not going to be with none of these teams. So I kind of scratched the ideology of what Daniel Jones is going for, because you are still young. But why don't you just go and take charge and say, hey, I want to go to a team that's going to really give me a legitimate chance to start, whether it be this year or next year. I'll sign a 2-year deal, and we'll see what happens in the upcoming year. Instead of saying, oh, I'll sign for the rest of this season, I'll just be – you're going to be a backup, dude. Like, you're never going to start. You know what I mean? Bearing an injury, right? That would be the only reason. Mm. And then you're just going to finish out this year, and then you're still going to be the backup going forward. So to me, his whole idea of riding with a contender, but then you still want to start, it just doesn't match up at all. And he needs to either decide one way or the other. Do you want to become a career backup, or do you want to still chase your dreams and still try to be a starting caliber quarterback in this league?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've got Back to the Stone Age is in the house with us. He says, yo, Danny Crosseyes is heading to Baltimore. Too much sense. They need a backup QB. He was similar to Lamar in style. He says also simple playbook, gets to run a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
and then also
sense.
He says Joe seems to think is a QB1. He's backup everywhere except for Las Vegas.
Not true. Not true at all. I don't think he's a QB1. I think he's proven that he still deserves a chance. Like, there are other teams, other offenses that he could go to and maybe be given a chance. That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't think my thing is for Daniel Jones, I'm thinking that as if I was him, why would I choose to go to a contender where I'm not going to start ever? Makes no sense.
Yep.
If you really want to chase your dreams and you want to still have a chance anyway to start, you need to go to another club. You need not a contender, because you're either going to choose to be that career backup or still pursue your starting dreams.
Yeah, and like you said, it's very confusing because, again, he talks like an aging receiver looking to try and get a chip before he retires. But he's a quarterback that's still just kind of looking for a job and wants to prove something, you would think. So the narrative coming out of this, I think, is, like I said, it's mind-blowing. But it also, maybe I shouldn't be surprised as why he hasn't really developed anything if he's this pig-headed and things like that, and not getting it, not getting the big picture. Because like I said, it makes no sense to, hey, I'm going to go to a contender. What's that going to do? Like you said, you're not going to win the starting job. And if you're the backup, maybe you can help them win there. But that's a big if, and that's a big maybe. Mm-hmm. And you would be happy with getting that chip, riding the coattails of somebody else just there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, handing a clipboard or hanging on to, a Microsoft Surface. You know what I mean? I mean, that makes no sense. Any kind of younger quarterback, I think, in this league would want to say, hey, I want redemption. I want to go somewhere else. Look at Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield went to a few different teams, and now he's found his spot with Tampa Bay and now building a name for himself. Baker Mayfield, here I am. This is me. I'm the starter. I can lead a team with whoever I have here, and I can push for the playoffs. This is what he should be looking at. This is why I think if he did get a contender, if they were interested, I think Detroit's a nice one, just because sitting behind Jared Goff, I don't think Hendon Hooker is really going to be the next guy up for Jared Goff. And if God forbid, Goff goes down, I don't think Daniel Jones would really kill the team with the amount of weapons that they have here, especially they do a lot of two-headed monster running style game here.
You know what's funny about all this is the fact that Daniel Jones, in his mind, thinks that if I go to a contender, maybe one day I could start because I'll already have inherited a good offensive line, plenty of weapons to utilize, unlike when I was with the Giants where I didn't have everything. So, I mean, they already have their starters, though. So everybody's already in place. And I get it. There was a bunch of teams interested. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of those teams fell off when Daniel Jones came out and said, oh, I want to go to a contender. You know, so those teams aren't going to continue trying to sign you if you're already made up your mind and that's what you want to do. But I think that this is a very dangerous decision for Jones because now it's almost like you're admitting, like, oh, I don't mind going to be a backup somewhere. Yeah. And mm-hmm. if that's your decision and that's what you end up doing, I wouldn't be surprised, dude, if you're going to end up becoming a career backup quarterback. Kind of like what's happened to Carson Wentz, you know, a guy who struggled at the latter part of his career and then ended up being just a career backup now. Now he's a backup with the Chiefs, you know. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Jones, if he does decide this, I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, he ends up just being that, just being a quality backup, if you want to call him that. And then that's it, bro. You just wrote it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is this story is really interesting. I just don't get it.
It's not even much of a story.
No,
honestly.
No. But it's like after the way it's all played out for his career, like this is what it ends up being. It's like he's released. And you're like, all right, I think he's going to go off into the fade, and then maybe next year try and find a team. And right. Now he's making a demand, and like, here's my list. You know, that I'm going to go to. It's like what? It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me.
My thing is, if you want, like he's basically deciding his career right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you still want to pursue it being a starter? Then you have to go to a team that is in dire need of it, dire need of quarterback, which there's plenty of teams for that.
Plenty of teams out there.
And then, or are you just going to be like, well, you know what? I had a good run. I couldn't make it work with the Giants. I'm just going to be a backup from now on. If that's the case, then fine. Go to a contender. Go just be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he wants to join a contender now for this year, just sign like a 1-year deal, whatever money that ends up being. It's not going to be a lot. It's going to be very little. But then he wants to go into free agency and then try to test his ability with other teams and maybe try to earn a starting job elsewhere. So it's weird. It's one of those conflicting, you know, I just don't understand for Daniel Jones what he's thinking. What's the end result?
What's the end result? Because, again, I think ultimately you want to play and you want to be able to learn from somebody. That's why I thought even, too, if San Francisco was interested, you're under, you know, Kyle Shanahan, you see what they did for Sam Darnold. You know, like I said, Detroit or, you know, somebody else there. You know, maybe a somebody with an offensive coordinator that, you know, has, you know, those types of skills that help, you know, bring that out in him. You know, something mm-hmm. like they can mold him. I think even if you got – you know, Sean McVay there with the, you know, the Rams, you know, back up to, you know, Matthew Stafford, who does get injured here and there, is kind of a gunslinger, much like Daniel Jones to an extent. I think maybe if you put him there and Sean McVay learn under him, I think that would be even interesting for them. And they're kind of a contender, you know, they can kind of get there, but they've got a lot of good weapons. They can still kind of move forward, I think, with Daniel Jones after, you know, a couple of seasons here, you know, if they build, you know, add some more pieces.
But that's the thing. That's where you're deciding on being a career backup. Mm-hmm. Because if you sit behind Stafford, no one's going to take you serious of becoming a starter even after he's gone. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's a year or two later, I don't think they would consider Daniel Jones as a starter, even if he was there the whole time. You know what I mean? I think he would make his own bed that way. So you need to pursue it now because I think the stigma about Daniel Jones is that he's on the brink of just being a backup. And if you're okay with it for 1 year, might be tougher to, you know, even have a chance after the season.
Maybe that's what he thinks. Maybe he thinks that it's just all over now. He goes, I don't think I could do anything worse than damage my career. I'm still going to get a ring out of this, you know, somehow.
I'm done.
I'm Super Bowl champion Daniel Jones. Oh, man. You know, underneath Lamar Jackson. How about that?
I don't know, man. I mean, as far as, like, the person goes, like, Daniel Jones as a person, like, he's a good dude and everything.
Yeah.
You kind of root for the guy, but I've tried to root for him.
Yeah.
And it's just he keeps disappointing. You know, he's disappointed the fans for many, many years now. And it's like, dude, if not now, when? Mm-hmm. Like I understand the Giants weren't a complete team yet, and he didn't have everything. But at some point, you got to see something, like him limit his mistakes, and we never really got to see that. We saw an average playing Daniel Jones, and he never really ascended to become any better than what he was when he first came into the league the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Something that's not disappointing. Why don't you tell everybody about grumblingsmedia.com and the list of podcasts that are on there and shows and where they can get more episodes like ours.
It's very easy. I mean, Jim just led you to it. Grumblingsmedia.com. Head over there for a bunch of articles and great podcasts like ours. I mean, it's just an amazing place. Go over there, grumblingsmedia.com. You can check out political, sports, entertainment, you name it. It's all there. And you could go and take it a step further and show our team at Grumblings Media some great big support. Heading over to YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up while you're there, share it to all your family and friends. You might as well. And it's absolutely free. We're not asking a dime from you guys. So just do it and help us out because we are growing crazy. We are at like 3,800 subscribers right now and climbing. We are almost at our goal of 4,000. Now, we'd like to get to 45 by the end of the season, so we need you guys' help right now to keep it going, keep it the ball rolling. And you can also take us on the go wherever you are going and heading in your lives and join the podcast. Anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, it's all there.
Nice. All right. So, Joe, it is Thanksgiving week here. That's right. So what we like to do here, this is our inaugural season here with Grumbling Media, but you know, we have a thing called the Pick Six, and sometimes I keep it football related, sometimes I don't. This is one of those times where we're going to keep it with the Thanksgiving themes. So here we go. We got the Pick Six. So what I've decided to do for my Pick Six this week is do the worst things about Thanksgiving here. So my six worst things about Thanksgiving here. What could they be here? Here we go. Let's get right into it.
The fact that the Bears are playing Thursday or the Dallas Cowboys are playing Thursday. Yeah, that would start.
Yeah, right.
That would start right there.
Oh, man. So, all right, here we go.
You're welcome.
Blow it up over here. All right, Joe, here we go. First things first. All right, the Peanuts gang here. Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Joe.
All right.
I hate old this school thing. Yes. Yeah, they old keep school playing this. You know what's funny? Every year it consistently plays, and I get this because it's a tradition. I get it.
Yeah.
And I hate to say, sound like an old dude again, though, too. It's like,
off my lawn.
But the young kids aren't watching this stuff. Like, this is, like, so low graphic to them. You know, they're like, oh, man, the graphics on this suck. I'm not even going to bother watching this. They don't get into it. And even when I was a kid, I didn't get into it. This is the most boring special ever, especially even out of the Peanuts gang.
Yeah.
It is so slow. The songs suck. It's boring. It's just not good.
And not to mention it teaches you terrible grammar because there's a couple of characters in there. Womp, 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 womp. It's not even English.
That's true. That is
so
true.
Like, you know, that there's that. And the fact that now it's so outdated that none of the kids even know who the hell who Snoopy is.
Who
the cartoon characters are. Charlie Brown, they have Charlie
SpongeBob's
who?
Even old to them right now. They still even love SpongeBob, dude. They don't care about Snoopy.
Maybe that's what they should do, a SpongeBob Thanksgiving.
And almost to me now, looking at this, this seems like a mockery of the Last Supper to me even right now, Joe. Doesn't that kind of seem like that? I don't know. Oh, well, there we go. There's enough to hate about this. All right, so here we go. Next up on my Pick Six, the National Dog Show. I don't know anybody that watches this again. It's like, yes, Thanksgiving, we have the turkey, we have, you know, this, we have football. All right. Well, most of the people are watching football. We get that. We love the games. We are.
Yeah.
But our other alternative is watching a bunch of, you know, stuck-up, snobby dogs, you know, all over here. are just dogs. There's, dogs. Look at they don't even like. Yeah, they get you know Brad and Clean and all this other crap. Those other ones teach them some stupid tricks. And look at this is what a past winner here. He looks like he's melting into the carpet. It's like a stupid like amputee dog that's like hasn't got a haircut in a while. One somehow. I don't get this, and it's boring. You're already eating turkey. You got the tryptophan going. You're falling asleep, and then I'm going to watch this show, and I'm going to fall asleep even more.
No, you're not. You're just going to end up watching football anyway. Yeah, no one watches this.
It's stupid. No, I don't get it. I don't know anybody that likes this crap. The National Dog Show, it's got to go. You know, go somewhere else. Yeah. All right, next up, the Macy's Day Parade. Here's another one, too, where – I don't know anybody that still even goes to parades anymore. Maybe people still do this thing.
With kids, maybe, like younger kids.
And even in New York City now, if they still even do this thing, I'm sure it's crazy now because the crime rate that's going on in New York City, too, it's got to be astronomical. So
all the illegals really are going to take it over.
Yourself here.
They're going to take it over.
Maybe they even brought them in for the parade. Maybe they're going to be the ones handling all of the blow-ups. And
all I know is it's going to be – I know that you shouldn't watch it when you see a pinata being walked down the street. Then it's just too far. It's gone too far.
Oh, but anyways, again, it's funny. What are they going to do if Macy's stops funding this thing? You know what I mean? Because, again,
is Macy's still funding this? That's what I want to know. Because how many – I mean, there's been stores closed down.
Yes.
You know, it's like, dude, where is this coming from?
Right. And what's funny is that there's not even a big jump to get into this. You know how we see promoters, like people are jumping to rename stadiums everywhere. It's
That's
like,
right.
Now it's called this bowl. Now it's called that. Nobody's taking over the New York parade on Thanksgiving. Macy's like, I got this. And anybody else want to buy into this? No, no.
Hey, does anybody want to sponsor any of the floats, any of the balloons, anything like that? Like, Aflac sponsored this floating pig.
Yep, and they have some kind of douche just doing some kind of lip-syncing on a float, too, all the time. They're never singing to the song. Yeah. You know what I mean? They got a microphone in their hand, but all the sound's off, and they're just lip-syncing their song. It's some pop dork.
All I have to say is I checked out a long time ago as I was getting older as a kid. I'm like, this is boring. I don't even want to watch this. So it's like, dude, I can't believe that's still going on.
Yeah.
And I understand. Me neither. The only thing I could think of is like very young kids, like parents that want to bring their really young kids because, you know, as a very young kid, you're like, oh, look at that huge balloon
or the
floats and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's kind of cool as a very small kid. But, man, it doesn't take long after that. You're like, screw this.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm done
watch
with this.
Because,
you know, like I said, the crowds and everything end up follow the whole parade or wherever. Or you find
it's
your
one
spot.
Thing, it's also one thing when you're there.
Yeah.
Like live in person, it's probably way more impressive.
It is.
Like, oh, let's huddle around the television and watch it. That is terribly boring. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
Oh,
just
boy.
Can't do it.
Yes, yes.
I did
they
not
are
expose
the worst.
My kids to that, by
no,
the way.
No, that's good. You know?
Like, I turned Neither it on to I. see what would happen. And they just weren't even that interested.
No, and now kids don't even want to get up. It's on at like 7 o'clock in the morning. Like, nobody's ready for that. You know what I mean? Like, come on. All right, so next up, traffic.
Traffic
is the worst about it. They're saying another 50 million or something people are traveling again, this year.
And come on.
Give us the whole thing. You know it's bad when they give you, like, a game plan a week in advance. They're like, here's some tips on how to travel safely. Like, okay. So I'm risking my life when I do this
just
now.
Don't.
It's like, I got to follow the tips. Oh, my God. Here we go. You know what I mean? And luckily, you know, the weather's not really terrible right now because you got that on top of it. You know, people drive like idiots in the snow, and then you got the flights canceled and all that nonsense. It's not worth it, man.
Yeah,
people just
right.
want to stay home anyways and stuff. So we're good on that. So I'm good with the travel, especially even Hochul bringing up the tolls even now, even more for catching the Jordan.
Really appreciate it.
It's ridiculous.
That's what I want to do, spend more money.
Yeah, exactly. So there we go. Traffic sucks. We don't want to do that. All right, next up, I get to see my Giants
Whatever.
Play the Dallas Cowboys, and it's DeVito versus
the backup
Cooper
quarterback.
Rush. This is what we get. We get Tommy DeVito versus Cooper Rush, Thanksgiving Day, Giants Cowboys. This is what we get. Shoot me now, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm like, it would have been bad enough if I saw that, you know, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys just dismantle my Giants anyways, but I have to watch these guys. Or maybe I don't. Maybe I just won't. Maybe I'll just like make sure I eat dinner during this time, and I'll actually just miss this part.
There's always been this kind of discussion every year, it seems like, for Thanksgiving Day games. Mm-hmm. And I know it's tradition that the Cowboys always play, the Detroit Lions always play, but they have to start coming around to the idea of just playing the better games on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get rid of the whole freaking tradition thing, because when you have matchups like this where it's like – and don't even forget about the backup quarterbacks, but both teams are not good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just not, and we've seen them struggle. So why didn't you flex this game? Because I'll be honest with you. I know Giants fans. I know Cowboys fans. I mean, oh, all right, maybe Cowboys fans, because they're loyal to, you know, basically a very bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Loyal to a fault, basically.
Yep.
I know Giants fans probably don't even want to see this game, because it's just like, it's so far out of reach now that, like, why are you punishing the Giants fans and NFL fans now at this point? If you want to watch football, you have to watch this game at this time, because there's nothing else. So I really think that the NFL needs to seriously look into flexing games out, especially for like special events like Thanksgiving, like Christmas Day, stuff like that. Because if you have if you have matchups that are just not appealing, not even playoff contending, you know, or have something to do with the playoffs, probably shouldn't be showing it. And I mean, even look at the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. Like, really? You thought that was going to be a good matchup, the Detroit Lions that should be dominant coming into the season,
yep.
And then the Bears, who everybody had high hopes for, but no, it's not working. So, I mean, it's
– I get it. Yep. Yeah, so like I said, it just makes my day that much worse too as well. So there you go. I think I have one more here to make up my pick six here for the worst things about Thanksgiving, especially for me this year.
Yeah.
All right, you get to spend time with your angry liberal family members. Angry liberal family members you get to hang out with, you know, because they're really joyful right now and ready to spend joy with everybody, being very thankful for everything.
I'm moving.
Yes. If they're still in the country, maybe they're traveling right now and going somewhere else and not to spend time with their family, but... So yes, there you go, Joe. That is my pick six, and it is Thanksgiving's worst things here this year.
Excellent.
So there you go.
Excellent.
That's right, another classic. Oh man, my face hurts after that. But all right.
Good stuff.
We got some more to talk about, but you know, we're going to get into our picks, and we're kind of going to bring in some other topics here as we get into our picks, because there's a lot of interesting things that happened with these teams and the way these teams kind of look right now and how they're going into these next couple of latter weeks of the season is really telling too. So let's get right into it. This is the picks competition so far right now. We're a little close here. I got two more games on you last week here, and it was that Arizona and things, you know. And then what was the other game here? I can't remember. The Rams and Philadelphia. Philadelphia really showed out, Joe. Mm-hmm. I mean, how about that? Saquon Barkley, though, again, he is like that team. That's what I'm saying. It's like they look okay when he's not there in doing, you know, what he does. Like, you saw the offense even slow down when they weren't handling the ball, and then he gets it, and he's just ripping off chunks after chunks after chunks. And the spectacular big, huge plays, too.
Yeah.
And even that threat right there has opened up the run for Jalen Hurts, too. That if you look at his stat line, it's pretty crystal clean, and he doesn't even have a lot of passing yards, stuff like that, because he doesn't have to. Saquon has made it that much easier for him right now, and this team looks really dangerous even going forward.
Yeah, my thing is that in that whole matchup, I'm like, what were the Rams? What was their game plan? Like, you know that Saquon Barkley is like the most dangerous man in Philly.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you take out their best weapon? And I say best weapon loosely, because we all know A.J. Brown. Devonta Smith wasn't able to go, so they were missing him.
Yep.
But, like, all you had to worry about was double-teaming A.J. Brown and stuffing Saquon Barkley. And I know that's easy to say, but still, you had to slow them down that way. And I didn't see that in that game. I was very disappointed in the defensive coordinator and leading up to that game. Like, you didn't – that wasn't the focal point? How? And that right there shows you, like, because they weren't concentrating on Saquon Barkley and trying to limit A.J. Brown's catches, that they just weren't prepared. They really weren't. And for Sean McVay's offense, again, not that great. You know, they struggled, too, against an Eagles defense that they're good, but they're not as good as they used to be. And you should be able to exploit it a little bit anyways, enough to maybe possibly win, but they only were able to put up 20 points. I think they should have been able to put up two more touchdowns at least and limit the big explosive plays for Philly, and they just couldn't do it.
Yep, absolutely. So here we go, Joe. Let's get into the games. Here's Thursday.
Into
here we
games.
Go. We talked about it a little bit here when we were laughing, almost borderline crying about the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants here. But here we go, Detroit and the Bears. Detroit, again, they've got to be the best team right now in the NFL. I look at it.
How I see it.
Yes, because even Kansas City, they barely edged out. We joked about it. Edged out. The game against the Carolina Panthers.
Life young, baby. Man. Helping the team.
How about
be
that?
Be competitive. Playing much better. Not playing great, but he's playing much better. And the Panthers, man, they almost scraped out a win. That was impressive. You know what? I did happen to see some of the referees leaving the stadium with big red duffel bags. Had to be full of money from the Chiefs. That was funny. That was really funny. And the Chiefs barely scraped by, yes, none other than the Carolina Panthers. So that was fun to see. Bears, Detroit Lions in Detroit. You know that the stadium is going to be a rockin' in Detroit. I could only imagine Eminem making an appearance, you know, in Detroit, Michigan, because it is on Thanksgiving. Why not kind of make it a real special event? The Bears coming in here. This is a team that struggled all year so far. Caleb Williams has struggled. As their quarterback, and it's going to continue to struggle. Because now they're going to Detroit against one of the hottest, if not the hottest team in the NFL, in the Detroit Lions. I like the Lions a hell of a lot, and this could get lopsided. Mm-hmm. Like, this could be probably the most boring game to watch because it might be all Lions from the start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think for some reason, I think this one might be a little tighter just because, I don't know, Detroit plays kind of games like this. Chicago, like you said, you did notice the difference, and you saw it last week with Caleb Williams holding the ball. I think even they said it was like
– been doing it all year.
5 plus 6. It was like 6 seconds or something like that, and then still taking the sack.
Yeah.
Running backwards, again, 10 to 20 yards. That's crazy.
Hey, you know? You could get away with it in college, but not in the NFL. Guys are much faster and stronger in the NFL. So you can't do the same thing you used to do. It's not going to work. And clearly, it hasn't worked all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even on that onside kick, I don't know, this might be just me, but I swear, when I watched the replay on that onside kick, I swore one of the Bears kicked the ball even further down a little bit, tipped off his foot. And that's why it was able to kind of get muffed, and they end up getting it there. But they made it close somehow, you know, here with that onside. But
they still lost.
Still lost, yeah, which they should have, the way they played out, too. So I'm with you, too. Detroit, they're tough to beat. Mm-hmm. I think, again, like I said, early on it might be a little, you know, closer, but I think they're going to pull out the victory, too, as well. Just such a better team. All right, the Giants and the Cowboys. Again, I don't see much out of this, but we did see that Cooper Rush.
I don't like this one.
He can, you know, lead this team. And we've seen it before last season, too, that sometimes Cooper Rush plays better than Dak Prescott with these guys. And
sometimes,
you see the difference now with Micah Parsons back in the game, though, and getting healthier on defense, though, too, with these guys. That makes a little bit of a difference with this team.
I mean, what are people doing?
And some
– Well, I mean, listen, honestly, like, even when Micah Parsons came back, when he first came back, they were double-teaming him. They were making it difficult for him to even be an impactful player, and that's why the Cowboys still couldn't play good defense. Last week, very different. It's almost like it's almost like they forgot that Micah Parsons is healthy and back in the lineup. They weren't even addressing it.
Yep.
But I hope that the Giants would be smart enough, knowing that they face him 2 times a year, knowing how much of a difference maker he is. You have to double-team guys like that. I just don't understand for the life of me, in certain games when you got playmakers like that, like a Nick Bosa or something, don't you have to, like T.J. Watt, don't you have to double team the guy, or at least chip him every single snap, limit his you know, ability to get to the quarterback or stop the run. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we've seen that kind of issue here, you know, with the Commanders at times. Giants, again, they've got some playmakers on defense and stuff, but I don't think it's enough here against this Dallas Cowboys team. And you see what's happening in the, you know, media now with Malik Nabers coming out and said, hey, it's not the quarterback, man.
Dude.
Not the quarterback.
Dude, like, for him to say that and then the aftermath of those comments. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't sound right, but it really does sound like possibly, you know, Brian Daboll might be on the bubble. Because in order for him to kind of make those comments and then no backlash afterwards, you know, like, it's not like he's going to be sitting the game or be suspended without pay or anything like that by the team. It seems like they're okay with the comments, and there's nothing that they're doing, they're not going to go after or penalize Malik Nabers, mm-hmm. which is weird. Because mm-hmm. usually when you make weird comments like that, you're held accountable.
Right.
So the fact that nothing's happened as of yet, maybe it does later in the week, but it makes me think, like, could he possibly be? I can't believe it.
Like, almost, I mean, like, they're almost like, yeah, he's right.
I can't believe that they would just move on from Daboll when he really hasn't been able to put this whole team together in his mm-hmm. vision. But things don't sound too good over there.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely stuff you don't want to hear. But, I mean, at least he's out there saying what we all kind of see, though,
talking
too.
Shit,
like,
yeah.
We understand that Daniel Jones had made enough mistakes here, though, too. But we also see that's clear that there's a lot of different problems here with this franchise, and a lot of people now are looking at it as ownership is one of them too as well. You know, we're getting
Getting rid of him.
Yeah, so. Well, I know, I hear you there, but I mean, that's what a lot of people are like. Oh man, are we seriously like Jets 2.0 here?
I don't know.
Look as bad.
I would argue this though. You know, to be fair, Mr. Mara mm-hmm. wanted to keep Saquon Barkley mm-hmm. no matter what. Like he really, really wanted to keep him, and Joel Shane was like, "Oh no, nope, that's too rich. We're not going to do it." You know, so I don't know. I think Mr. Mara had the right idea. It's just nobody else fell in line with it. And he was upset when the news broke out and they were like, well, Barkley's gone. He went to Philly. He's like, what? I thought I told you to sign him.
Yep.
So
yeah, he's probably really hurting every time he reads the paper now and stuff. He's like, oh, my
Saquon
gosh.
Saquon Barkley just went for, you know, total yards of 250 yards, you know, receiving and rushing and also three touchdowns. So. Yeah.
So either way, though, looking at this game, we made a whole lot of something out of nothing here.
I like it.
Either way,
we make a lot of nothing.
I would be ecstatic still if the Giants do win in this game and Tommy DeVito is somehow able to do something here, but I don't see it happening.
Show promise.
You know, I see him losing again. I'm going to pick against them like I have been. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys.
This game to me is difficult because I just don't know if I buy the Cowboys even after 1 week of success. Like Cooper
I don't think
Rush,
you need to buy them to beat the Giants, though. I mean,
dude, both these teams are not playing good football. The only thing that you could say is both defenses are at least adequate. Giants, I would give them the tip. I would give them the edge of being a better defense. You know, so
I get that.
I just extent. It's
I think
a
Dallas
tough one
has better
for me.
Playmakers, though. I mean, look what Turpin's able
really?
To do.
Really,
you
compared playmakers when that's like not even a. An argument.
Exactly. Well, that's a difference because guys are going to make plays, and I don't think there's a guy on the Giants team that's going to make a play.
None?
I'll get this. No.
Oh, not even Nabers? Nobody?
No, I don't think so. But what do you think? Do you think Dallas isn't going to win this one?
No, I think the Cowboys are going to win
it
because I'm going to go with the veteran leadership in Cooper Rush. But I wouldn't – listen, I'm going to be rooting for the Giants because I don't like the Cowboys. But
oh, me too.
All I have to say is that I will not be shocked if the Giants win.
Mm-hmm. I would be shocked. I think
I
it would
be
amazing.
I won't be.
Here we go. All right, next, the Miami Dolphins and the Green Bay Packers here. So we have to wait all the way to 8:20 and watch a game that we really want to see here. All right. So Miami, they're really stepping it up here, seeing they got Tua. See the difference that these guys make, Tua. Even when you talked about Brock Purdy, everybody was against Brock Purdy. Oh, he's just a system quarterback. He's just blah, blah, blah. Look what they are without him, bro. You know, when you don't have him, they're losing. True. You know, and that's a big difference. You know, you can call him just a regular starter, average, whatever.
Right.
If you don't have him in there, it's a difference. Mm-hmm. And so now these guys are making a push here too, to make the playoffs here. Miami's back in it. Green Bay still kind of skittish, man. Like they were their defense won that game last week. It was 100%. All their defense all day long.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jordan Love wasn't turning it up at all. He potentially had three picks. A couple were just dropped, flat out dropped. You know, not looking good at all. And the fact that they had Josh Jacobs, you know, being able to run like he did, I think was key.
Well, that's really what it was. It was the defense and the rushing attack.
And the rushing attack. That's all it was. Mm-hmm. So this is really a tough game to pick here because, again, I haven't seen enough from Jordan Love to say, hey, these guys are really even in Green Bay to say, even though their record's good, that these guys are a really tough, you know, competitive team right now because I think Miami can get right back into this with the weapons that they have.
They definitely could. The only problem that I have is like the Dolphins' defense. That's kind of been lacking. Like they've played well. 2 weeks ago, they played pretty good football. Last week, it was kind of up and down. Now you're coming into Green Bay. You have to go play in the cold. Like it's getting colder up there in Green Bay, and I don't know how well the Dolphins are going to respond to it. Like Tua even said in his presser, he's like, "Can't wait." He's like, "Can't wait to prove all the doubters wrong that we can play in the cold." Well, you haven't been too successful at up to this point.
So that, I think every year.
Yeah, like we'll see. I mean, the Packers is. I think the Dolphins could keep up with the Packers. You know, like obviously, I don't think scoring is going to be, you know, too much of a problem for Miami. But I don't know. Something tells me, like in Green Bay with the Packers, with the weather that's going to be ensued, that give me the Packers in this one. Like I'm going to go with the home team on this.
Yeah, I mean it's tough. It's tough to go against the Packers in the cold here on a Thanksgiving day. Miami, like you said, all I remember is through that last playoff game, they looked like they were freezing their ass off and they weren't ready. You know what I mean? The offense didn't get going at all.
It's part of football where you have to try to adapt. Now there's some extreme conditions. Like look at Green Bay; they're a cold weather team. Now, if they were to go, you know, at the very beginning of the season and they're going down to Florida and it's like 95 where it's, you know, humid and it could really affect them. But, you know, this is the other way around. This is going to be cold, you know, probably damp feeling. Like, it's one of those things that the Dolphins have to try to overcome the weather and the Packers. I think it's not like it couldn't happen,
but
I think it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a tough game. It's going to be great to watch, but I'm going to side with Green Bay, I think, too, as well, Joe. All right, we've got Black Friday, the Black Friday game, the Las Vegas Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know. You know, Raiders.
No Gardner.
No Gardner.
Yep, no Gardner Minshew.
Out for the season.
I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, are you
not? Oh my God!
I think that's why so many people want Daniel Jones there. Like,
honestly, hey, honestly, dude,
you can start this week.
I could not watch Raider games last 2 weeks. It's so ugly to watch when Minshew's at quarterback. It's so bad. So, with this one, not really 100% sure who's going to be the starter. It hasn't been officially announced yet, but Aiden O'Connell apparently is back at practice. A guy who's been out for at least a month now, had a thumb injury. And who knows? Like, maybe Aiden O'Connell will be the starter. Maybe Desmond Ridder might get a chance to start. But I think O'Connell's where they're leaning towards. And if they do, how much rust has this guy built up? You know what I mean? Like, I would have loved to see Aiden O'Connell, like, fully healthy, ready to go, been playing, and now you go against the Chiefs again. And I think that it would give them a better chance. But because he's just coming back, and the fact that this team has not been playing well, and the injuries that they've amounted to is crazy. last week, let's just put it into perspective, they were without both their starting corners. So, amongst other guys that have been out for the year. So, I don't think it'd get much better. The Kansas City Chiefs, this is a team that has been winning games, not impressively to say the least, but they just continue to win games. Whether with the help of their friends in stripes or not, I think Kansas City gets this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you too as well. And
if they win, I'm going to be pissed, just so you know.
That would be crazy if they
won. I hope they don't. Hope they don't.
Right, yeah, you want to keep losing, I think, at this point now, too. Yeah. But, like I said, not very good on a lot of different phases. You know, 28th, I think, in scoring, you know, 32nd turnovers, everything you
Thank
name
you,
it.
Gardner Minshew.
Yes. Yep, and I think last time they played, the Kansas City Chiefs won 27-15, I think,
nope,
or something.
27-20.
Right? 27-20, was it?
Okay. That was etched in my brain because I'm like, there wow, we actually came close. Yeah.
Well, isn't it funny, though, sometimes, because I look at how inept my team is, but I'm like, I think we still put up some points, right? Like, we put up 7 last week, but your team comes out even this week and put up some points right away.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. You put up, like, 20 points even this last week here and barely lost to, you know, the
Broncos,
which is a good team, you know, right now. So it's very mind-boggling, and it all depends on matchups. Mm-hmm. And like you said, week to week, you just never know.
Yep, game plan, matchups, everything.
All right, we've got a few different comments, and we've got somebody new in the comments.
I like
as well,
it.
That
I like
think
new
we've
people.
Ever seen before, Joe.
I like
we've
it.
We've got Vet Gaming.
All right, what's up, Vet Gaming? How you doing?
All right, so they're responding to some of the picks that we got here already.
What
and they
got?
Said, Packers win this all day.
Okay.
Green Bay has a clear advantage with the weather conditions. There you go. They're like in agreement with what we said here, too.
Yes,
Chiefs all day. It's a funeral for the Raiders.
I mean, you can't really say that when they only won by a touchdown. They might still get they'll probably still get the win no matter what, but, I mean, you can't really talk a big game if you haven't really dominated the other team.
Yep. Yeah, and it's annoying. I was watching the game day, your NFL game day, right? And those guys are a joke anyways, but they're super annoying. And they couldn't help themselves but say, oh, it's the Bundle-a-Rooski, Here we go on the play and this and that. And they're like, oh, my God, shut the F up. But so one thing I did kind of see this year, kind of seems like to me, is out of the tight end bunches, they do this two tight end bunch set near each other. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Noah Gray has really gotten a lot more of the receptions here out of those formations, and he's really stepping up in it.
I mean, last week is where he just, like, blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Incredible, you know, performance by Noah Gray. And here's the thing, too, is if you remember, I know Chiefs fans remember, they signed him to a 3-year extension, and it wasn't for nothing. Like, they know that it's getting closer for Travis Kelce to move on. They understand that. But they're prepping Noah Gray to have a very big prominent role in the near future for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. So Vegas Raiders, Kansas City. You got Kansas City. I've got
Vet
Kansas
Gaming.
City.
Could you do us a huge favor? Head over to Grumblings Media if you're not already there, and make sure you hit that subscribe button for us.
That's a good
while
idea.
While you're at it.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the thumbs up. We appreciate the comments, guys. Really do appreciate it. Makes our job a lot more fun. Instead of talking to each other, you know?
That's true, because we do talk to each other a lot.
We do. Probably more than we should.
Right.
I think people are starting to wonder things.
Yeah, maybe. All right, here we go. We've got Sunday's December. We're finally in December now, Joe. Can you believe that?
I can.
It's nuts. It's just moving
so fast. I just want it to be over.
Right? It's coming. February's coming.
Put me out of my misery.
There you go. My misery, right? I know that's what I'm saying. It's like when you look at the games now, you're in this seat. You're just waiting for the draft now already. This is where we are. We're waiting for the draft now.
My mentality is I just want to see who the playoff teams are going to be, and then I'm going to root for the underdogs.
Right?
You know what I mean, that's going to be my thing.
Yeah. It's everybody's like, hey, you know, what are you looking at? You're smiling. You're like, oh, you move up in the standings. Like, yeah, we're like got the first pick in the draft this year.
Woohoo!
Yeah. You know?
as exciting as it gets for us right now.
Oh boy, yep, exactly, Joe. It seems like we do this way too much too as well.
Hey,
oh man,
we're built different.
But we're still
for this.
Fans, though.
That's
we
all.
Still love our teams.
We're
here
built
we go.
Different.
Yep. All right, here we go. Sunday, December 1st, the Chargers. Had an opportunity to win that game multiple times here last night, but couldn't get it done.
No bueno.
No bueno. A lot of drops, too, actually.
Did you happen to hear Jim Harbaugh's comments in the post-interview of that game?
I didn't stay up for it.
Oh, boy. It's Jim being Jim.
Yeah.
His comments went something like, because they asked him, like, oh, well, you know, how does it feel to play against your brother, that and this and thing? He's like, oh, I love my brother so much. He goes, but I can't let him win a football game. And it's like, dude, you lost.
You lost, like multiple times. You're like 0-3.
What are you talking about, dude? Like, you've been losing to John.
Yeah.
So, it was like one of these, like, really kind of, like, weird type of, and it was a weird way he delivered it. You know what I mean? So, Yeah, he's a little special character.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny how they kept, even on the broadcast, they brought up, like, John's the older brother, but he looks so much better than Jim right now. Jim looks just older, and he's just, like, struggling. He's like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, he does it, man. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Oh, boy.
I like that even in the beginning, he starts grabbing his bicep, then he grabs Jim's. He's like, oh, yeah, you need to work out, buddy. Yeah. All right, here we go. So, anyways, Chargers and Atlanta Falcons. Falcons at home, Chargers. Chargers are still a tough team. Like we see how they like to run the ball, but you know, I think we got to check that injury with J.K. Dobbins because you saw the difference when he wasn't in the game because he was pounding the rock and he was really moving the ball there too, and it only helps Justin Herbert too and what they want to do offensively.
The only unfortunate part of all this is that we can't check the injury report because there is none. So that comes out tomorrow. So we're doing all these picks without an injury report, just guessing on what's going to be the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then didn't Raheem Morris say something too? He's like, he brought up their game plan. He's like, listen, everybody, we're the Atlanta Falcons, and we're going to do a little more play action now. So just to let you guys know, look for play action passes. Which I thought was kind of funny.
I don't think it matters. Like, you could tell anybody. As long as you execute the play, you're fine.
Right. But Atlanta, they're kind of up and down. You know,
they are.
I was hoping they could get better here. I don't know. For some reason, I think with this one, again, I can't trust Atlanta. I think I'm going to side with the Chargers here. Chargers bounce back after that loss in a short week here. I'm going to take Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
I mean, this, I don't understand this game at all. Like, both these teams, like, you know, the Chargers have kind of been ascending the last couple of weeks, especially defensively. They've been playing much better football. And then the offense has been capitalizing because they've managed to open the playbook a little bit and allow Justin Herbert to throw the ball a little bit more. It's more balanced than what it was in the beginning of the year. And it's really, really, you know, they're reaping the benefits of it for sure. Mm-hmm. The Falcons, like you mentioned it, they're up and down. I don't know what to expect week to week with them. You know, Kirk Cousins, one week looks like, you know, a really good quarterback. And then there's other times where you're kind of scratching your head wondering what kind of offense they're running. And then defensively, they've also been up and down. So, man, I just – there's something telling me to pick the Falcons in this one because they're home, and I think that this is going to be one of those games that surprises some people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you got to go. Who are you going with on this one?
I just said Falcons.
Oh, Falcons. Oh, sorry. I was looking because I think I just noticed this again. I think the comment that came in from Vet Gaming, I think that was from Rumble. Like, I think that's the first time we ever got one from Rumble. Like, ever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I wasn't sure we could even get comments from Rumble, so. I guess we can. So that's astronomical. That's awesome because I never even realized
like that.
So congratulations there. Vet Gaming, you are first Rumble, too. I mean, really appreciate that.
Rumble.com.
All right, so you're going Falcons. I'm going to go with the Chargers here. Pittsburgh Steelers, I can't believe they lost that game, Joe, again.
Dude.
Unbelievable.
What the hell's happening? This is what I mean. This is exactly what I mean. The Cleveland Browns beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's no way I would have picked that game differently.
It had to have been the glory of God, Joe, because, again, Winston, like, interview before, he was, like, in a different world, right?
Dude, that's him every week.
I know. But he's just, like, she's telling about it. He's just like, oh, my goodness, it's glorious. I'm able to play in the snow. And then I'm like, whoa.
For a player that never threw a touchdown pass,
mm-hmm.
he was able to overcome whatever and just will his team to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, call it, you know, by God's grace if you want to, but they overcame a lot, and they were able to, they made the plays that counted,
mm-hmm.
and the Steelers couldn't come back from
it. Yeah, it seemed like that offense just couldn't go. They couldn't run the ball at all, and that was
the
defense, right there.
Dude. The Browns' mm-hmm. defense woke up. That was the team we've been waiting for since week one. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been waiting for this team to show up, and it's a little too late, but they showed up now mm-hmm. with a different quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't throw touchdowns. So, interesting, to say the least.
So, this is another tough matchup here.
Everything up.
With Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, the Bengals, backs against the ropes. Well, we've seen this multiple times. And that defense, again, it seems like, you know, you just got Hendrickson and that's it. Like, nobody else helping them out here on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
And then on the offensive side of the ball, it just seems like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and, you know, and yes, T. Higgins here and there, but, like, mm-hmm. no help. It seems like, hey, we can keep scoring back, but it doesn't matter because they're just going to score right back on us again. We just can't compete. So I think the key for this one is really to try and get Cincinnati, if they can kind of stop the run a little bit on this one, keep the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of in disarray here and kind of slow down the pace of that. I think they can win this one because we saw last week too, I think with Russell Wilson, how much he is in love with that moon ball, like they call it. It was either that or nothing. It just seemed like he didn't want to go for those check downs or either they weren't open or not. So he kind of didn't do a whole lot, either threw it away or whatever, and then just kind of went for the moon ball, just missed it or someone throwing in the coverage. And I think if Cincinnati can kind of keep it a game like that, then they can win this game here, you know, with the threats that they have offensively.
Yeah, right on. I mean, that's the thing, too, is like, don't be stupid, Cincinnati. Double team TJ Watt. Like, you have to. Mm-hmm. We talked about it earlier in the show about big time playmakers on defense where, for some reason, teams will often go, oh, we're just going to block him with one guy. Like, no, you can't do that with guys. Special players like that. Like, you just can't. You got to chip him with a tight end, a running back coming out of the backfield, even just flat out double team him. You got to limit him. And last week, what I noticed the Browns did a very good job on is keeping him capped, keeping him out of a lot of big time plays when otherwise he could have disrupted. And the Browns did a very good job. And that's kind of like what really also helped them in winning that game or at least having a chance, right? So this is no different. This is another division rival. They know the Steelers. They know T.J. Watt very well. So doesn't Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to be hit by him. So hopefully they have the game plan of limiting him and doing what's necessary. Because I'll tell you right now, the Bengals offense, they have the offense to kind of win any game. Now, you have to execute. So feed the ball to Chase Brown, who's earned the right to be the starter now. He catches the ball very well out of the backfield. He runs the ball between the tackles, outside, inside, all that. Continue to put points on the board and force the Steelers to try to play keep up with them. Now, the Steelers on offense, again, you mentioned it right there where they got to run the ball. That's where all their successes has stemmed from. Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, in tandem, like just running the ball through teams. Now, the Bengals, they got to find a way to stop that. They got to limit it. They got to try to at least make the Steelers one-dimensional. In Cincinnati, this is a must-win game for the Bengals. I'm going to go with the Bengals in here because it is fight or flight on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of looking at too as well. I was looking at this and seeing Pittsburgh. I'm like, I don't know. I can kind of see them backing off on this one because I'm looking at their schedule from here on out though too.
Yeah.
It gets a lot tougher, and I could really see this team, like, thank God that they started out as hot as they did, because I can see them mellowing out here and getting a few losses here and kind of backdooring into this playoff run. So, especially with Baltimore, if they can, you know, step up here and keep playing here, this division is going to get a lot tighter here. And, yeah, I could see them see the wheels fall off this train here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals, too, as well, because, again, backs against the ropes, I think they respond. Arizona Cardinals and the Minnesota Vikings here. Cardinals in a tough one last week. Minnesota, again, rocking and rolling here with Sam Darnold. He's finding Addison now. There you go. There's somebody other than Justin Jefferson here on the team, buddy. You know, get it going. And he also had a little bit of Aaron Jones sighting out there with them, too. At home, Arizona, I think they're going to keep this close again and competitive. Mm-hmm. They're a pretty good team here. But, again, Minnesota, I think, just has the pedigree here. They have the better players. It's where I think Arizona's kind of back down to earth. I think Minnesota can pull out the victory here.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. This is a very good matchup. People might look at this game and be like, nah, I think this is a one-dimensional game where it's going to be Minnesota all day. I wouldn't say that. I would think that this is going to be a very close game down to the very end. But I like Minnesota and where they're headed. Like, I just think that Sam Darnold, he's not having a phenomenal year. He's having a good year. But this team, like, they need to start stackpiling wins and continue to stay up top in the playoff race. So I think they're going to get this win here. Being at Minnesota, it's going to be a tough matchup, but I think the Vikings get it.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. The Indianapolis Colts and the New England Patriots.
Here. Anthony Richardson is back again.
Yes, here we go. this is going to be a tough matchup, I think, here. This is a tough one to pick because, again, New England seems to hang in teams. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not a great team right now. They're rebuilding. Excuse me. But the Colts, they hang in with some teams, too, but they just don't have enough to get it done. But defensively, again, they've been doing pretty well here. Just offensively can't get it going. So I think this is a tough matchup here.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, so you have Anthony Richardson, who's kind of like – He's been up and down. He's played better since he's been put inserted back into the starting lineup. So maybe he did learn a few tricks from Joe Flacco and whatnot. But Josh Downs did go down with an injury last week. He did not return to the game. I don't know the extent of that injury if it's gonna keep him out at all, because that's his go-to guy. You know, if you lose him, like Michael Pittman Jr. and Alec Pierce are good, but I don't feel like Richardson has as much of a rapport as he does with Josh Downs. So that'll be something to monitor as the week goes. But Drake May and the Patriots, they've surprised some people. They're staying in competition with every team every week, and it's because of Drake May and how well he's been able to play as a rookie for that team. The Patriots' defense is kind of shaky, to say the least, but the Colts, on the other hand, I feel like they got the edge on that. So I'm going to go with the Colts on this one. Even though Drake May's playing really good football, I'm going to go with the Colts on this. And I think that the Colts defense is going to do just enough to keep them at bay.
Right, yeah. I mean, and this was tough with me too as well. I want to say maybe that New England plays well here at home and Drake May can get it done.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at that defense side of the ball too as well with Indianapolis. I think that's what kind of gives them the edge, because still – I think with New England, I can't trust their wide receivers at this point here with them. So I'm going to go with the Colts as well.
On a positive note, the Patriots get Cole Strange back, if anybody's excited about that.
Hey, there you go. Patriots fans probably aren't. The Seattle Seahawks and York Jets, Joe. Holy crap. Here the Jets are back.
Holy crap.
Do I even
want to hype it up?
Do I want to even convince myself that the Jets can get another win here, Joe? Like,
I think you'd like to.
I would like to, just because, again, you still look at the guys that are on this team and what they were even before.
On paper, it's a good squad.
They can do this. And Seattle, they're up and down. Like, yes, you know, they can pull out some victories here. You know, Geno Smith plays well at times. Walker playing well, too. It's like the team's good, but the Jets, I don't know. They're weird, man. Like,
they're a weird team.
I can't – I want to pick them, but I'm afraid. I can't trust them, Joe. I've been burned too many times.
There's been several teams this year where we just start to trust them, and then they lose against us. You know what I mean? So it's just like – it's one of those things, like Jaguars, they kind of suckered me in 1 week, and then I'm like, oh, God, are you kidding me? They ended up getting destroyed.
Like, I'm afraid to just write them off completely and say they can't win anymore. Like, I'm done. I'm picking them against them. But
how I feel about the Raiders, exactly.
It's tough, but exactly. I don't know. You know what? I think maybe they can.
And we have no injury reports. So
yes. So I'm thinking, we're really kinda, whatever. This team.
We're going in blind.
I'm going in. Seattle, they were able to edge out that win last week. It's a tough one here. The Jets. You know, coming off some rest, maybe they can pull off a victory here to get their shit together. They've got enough talent. They got, you know, Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers. Like, come on, man. Let's get it done here. I'm going to go with the Jets here.
And we talk about teams that kind of lure us in.
After this, I'm writing them off.
Both these teams have lured me in.
Yes.
I'm at an impasse. I am at an impasse right now with both these squads. And I don't know who to pick. But I'm gonna pick the better uniforms in the Seattle Seahawks in this one.
The better uniforms.
Because I'm banking on the running game to be able to feed Kenneth Walker the third and Geno Smith, for the life of God, play decent. You don't have to play great, just play decent and not turn the ball over. I think Seattle wins it then.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Tennessee Titans in a shocker again last week. You know, they end up pulling out the victory. against what I mean is some of these tougher divisional games, yes, what you don't know.
Doesn't make sense, dude.
But CJ Stroud sometimes, man, the picks, if you don't have the picks, like they're driving every single time. You know what I mean? But then he's just throwing some of those bonehead.
Make it make sense.
To a guy like right there. It's like you don't see that guy.
Make it make sense.
I know. I don't get it sometimes. I don't know if he really just built that much confidence, thinks he can make every throw, or I don't know. But some of these were blatant that there was a dude right there in coverage. How'd you not see the guy, you know? But anyways, you know, Tennessee able to get that victory here still against the Jacksonville Jaguars, another divisional rival here. This is a shitty game too and stuff. So can Jacksonville pull off a victory here, being the home team, trying to fight for something here, maybe for the head coach to keep his job? But I don't know. I don't know. I think Tennessee might even, you know, they're coming off of that one with some hype here. I think I've written off. Oh wait, I'm looking at Jacksonville here. They're not even going against Jacksonville. They're going against Washington.
We can make it up as we go.
Sorry, I whipped down. You know, my microphone was blocking the one team. So now I don't have to pick that one that way. Okay, this makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
Stupid microphone. Okay. Washington Commanders and Tennessee Titans. Okay.
Yeah.
Commanders. Man, I've been picking you every week. I'm stuck with you.
You might as well stick
with
them.
Come on, man. You got to get this stuff together. Please tell me that it's not wrong here. Don't tell me I'm wrong.
It's probably wrong again, but
yes.
We're going to rock
with it. And I hate this, you know, because I don't want to like the Commanders because, again, I'm a Giants fan.
You are.
I hate the Commanders totally here.
You're secretly a Commanders fan.
I think they have what it takes to get some stuff here done here, but they just not, you know, being able to execute and getting some of these tough losses here in tight games. Tennessee, I think this is a team that they can beat here, though. I'm going to go with the Commanders to right the ship, finally.
It's not because of Jaden Daniels, because he did everything he possibly could last week to get a win.
Yep.
Defense had to step up in that game, and they didn't do it.
And a kicker had just had to make...
There's always the kicking game.
Man.
That's important,
right?
And
they wanted to change the distance of the goalpost. Remember, Joe? Because, you know, these guys are making too many accurate kicks.
Yeah, they wanted to change the width of the goalpost, which is like, why? Like, field goal kickers still miss them.
They're still missing.
It's not like they're all making them and they got like a 95% hit rate. Mm-hmm. It's not happening. So, you know, going back to the Commanders game and Titans game, like this, I think last week was kind of like a fluke for the Titans. I don't buy Will Levis consistently doing that. And against a team like the Commanders, listen, Jaden Daniels is going to do his thing. It's not going to be him. And the fact that we've seen a slight emergence of Noah Brown as the number two wide receiver on this team. Mm-hmm. Terry McLaurin didn't really get involved last week. And it's gotta be a little concerning anyway, offensively, where
play on the side
you have to, right, but you have to give him, he's your big time playmaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta be able to feed him the ball a little bit more often than what you did last week. And mix it up. Just mix it up there. Austin Eckler had a pretty good game. Defensively, Commanders, wake the hell up. Like Dan Quinn, that's why you were there. You're there to wake that defense up, to get it back up to point here. Give me the Commanders in Washington at home. Get a win. Kind of get back on the right side of things.
All right, here we go. Next, now we've got the Houston Texans against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That makes this one a hell of a lot better now, too. Houston should be able to pull out the victory here against a struggling Jacksonville Jaguars team, but Jacksonville probably, again, playing with their backs to the wall to the sense that will they play for their coach, step up and do something here. I don't think so.
Could this be the week?
But I think this is the week. I think it's well overdue.
Could this be the week?
This is the next shots fired here, and
Doug Peterson eats crow.
Yep.
Gets fired.
It's going to be next checked off on the list.
I hope so. That being said, I got the Texans.
Yep.
I'm not even really going to think about it. Didn't I say that I wasn't going to talk too much about the Jaguars anymore?
Exactly.
I'm just going to get to the point. Texans are going to get the win. There we go.
Yep. All right. Next, the Los Angeles Rams and the New Orleans Saints. Saints trying to invite the ship here, too. Now they've got, you know, Rizzy, you know, there as their head coach. They love him here. He's got a funny name, too, that everybody loves to say, especially the young
guys. He's got the Riz.
The Riz, man. So the Rams, tough loss here, but I think they can bounce back here against New Orleans. New Orleans, I still think is they're not as good as that they've been kind of stepped back up to play like they were the first couple weeks. It was nice for them to get a win for their interim coach right now, but I still think the Rams have more, I think I'm going to pick them this week here.
Yeah. The Rams should win this game.
Yep.
If they execute and do what they're supposed to do, unlike last week. The Saints, on the other hand, they're very banged up. They're so injury riddled, and they are healthier on the offensive line, which is a plus. But I don't know, Chris Olave. We're still waiting to see, like, after he's had many tests with his concussion, he's gotten like many differing opinions to see if he should even continue playing at least this season. And we'll have to wait and see how that shakes out. But even so, even if Olave's in the lineup, I think the Rams just have the better team and healthier team. Give me the Rams in that one.
All right, here we go. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. This seems like a tighter game now.
This
I want to say
competitive.
Yes, I think Carolina has got something now. Like maybe those couple of weeks benching really did something for Bryce Young here, man.
Hey, it worked for Richardson.
Dude, right? Yeah, maybe that's what it takes here.
This is going to be the new trend.
Put them on timeout for a bit. Timeout works for the kids now.
The new trend. You're in timeout.
Yeah, you're on timeout now. Wait, look couple at what weeks. You've done.
That's
think
right.
About it.
Think about
you know
it.
What I mean? But Tampa Bay still looks good. You know, Baker Mayfield kind of pissed me off with the whole, you know, Tommy thing. You didn't need to do that, boy. Come on, we are a shitty team. Come on, man.
I like Baker.
Why you
got to
make us hurt? Yeah, but come on. You didn't need that. All right, that's below you. I thought you were a different guy, man.
No, that's him. In-game? Dude, in-game. He talks crazy trash.
Yeah, I
bro.
Hear you.
So, that's just him.
But Tampa Bay, they're talking that they're here. I think Mike Evans is going to be able to play this.
Yeah,
I
he's
think,
back.
Yeah, yep. So, there we go, yeah. So, that's key here for these guys. Carolina, I think, keeps it close. You know, I think they're going to really come with this game and keep it competitive. But I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here and what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, the Panthers have been playing better. The Buccaneers' defense has been hit or miss all season long. And I understand there's been some key components that have been in and out of the lineup. But still, they're still not the Buccaneers' defense of old. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that's the reason why the Buccaneers' offense has to play really well in order to win games, continue it to do so. This is going to be a tough matchup now that we've seen the Panthers even kind of come close to beating the Chiefs. Come close since Bryce Young's back in the lineup. They've been competitive every single week. They've been right there.
Yep.
This possibly could be the upset of the week, but I think the Buccaneers, with getting Evans back, Baker Mayfield playing great football at the quarterback position, I think that the Buccaneers are still going to be the winners in the end.
All right, here we go. This has got to be – these two games right here got to be the game. Yeah, the game of the week – during the afternoon, and then you've got the primetime game.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagles and the Baltimore Ravens.
Man.
This game's going to be full of running. If you guys like running, it's going to be running all day long here.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Full of defense. If you like defense, you're going to see defense all over.
Yeah, this is tough.
And you've got two mobile quarterbacks, you know, but again, I think I've got to give the nod to the Baltimore Ravens here on this one, just because you got Lamar. He's got to be the X factor here. I trust him over Jalen Hurts right now. Over, you know, because Jalen Hurts, yes, he does make some plays here and there. He does. I think he's a better thrower than Lamar, you know, but still, I think he's not playing as well this year. Still.
Doesn't have to. He just hands it off.
He just has to hand it off. Right. So I think when he's tested here, if they do, and that's going to be key here for this one. So.
Something,
I can see you going Philly, though, all day, though, too. Because, what Saquon has been doing right now, it's astronomical.
Right. Something to keep an eye on is Roquan Smith. He was out last week. I don't know if that means he's going to be out this week. So, and he's the heart and soul of that defense. So,
and
without him.
And key to run stopping as well.
Right. Without him, you saw last week how bad the I don't even know. I don't even remember who the linebacker was at the time, but he was getting himself caught inside too often,
right,
giving up those big rushing lanes. So if that happens again, this is the worst team to do it against. But Roquan Smith, I think, has to be available in this matchup. And we mentioned that, you know, this is going to be the key thing, is both – it's on both defenses. Can they stop or at least slow down the running game of both organizations here? You know, can you stop Saquon Barkley? Can you stop Derrick Henry?
Yep.
That, I feel like that right there is the deciding factor of this matchup.
That is the story.
So, that being said, since Jimmy went with Baltimore, I'm going to go with Philly in this one. I'm gonna hope that I'm right about this one. Otherwise, I'm down another game.
Malik Harrison is the guy, by the way.
Malik Harrison.
Yes.
Yeah, you suck. Yes. Get a job.
It was.
Yep. Not in the NFL.
Good job with the NFL.
But, yeah, I'm going with the Eagles in this one because it really could go either way.
Yeah, it really could. And I really just don't want the Eagles to win again. But and I think, you know, the AFC still, I think that they have, you know, some of the tougher competition right there, though, too. So, but like you said, that is the key. Who can run the most here? Philadelphia Eagles. So there we go. We got the San Francisco 49ers and the Buffalo Bills, Joe.
Yes.
This is a tough one for me because, again, I like the Buffalo Bills. I'm rooting for them this year. Mm-hmm. I want them to do great things.
Yeah.
San Francisco, though, I really don't want to count them out, though. You know, I'm still pulling for them. But, you know, they really, I said, when we had the big segment in the beginning, dug themselves into a hole now.
It's a must-win game.
You can blame injuries here and there or whatever, but yes, this is absolutely
a must-win game.
Must-win game, and they're not executing some of the simplest plays too, Joe. Like you see the even running.
I don't think you can when you have Brandon Allen as the
not even that though too, but even Christian McCaffrey, you know, trying to run to the outside can't get past the edge. You know, things like that. You know, not really running the ball effectively.
Right, because you can't when you don't have a starting quarterback. Like, that's the thing is you limit – your offense gets limited because where's the threat? No one's afraid of Brandon Allen throwing the football. So they're going to concentrate on stopping Christian McCaffrey, stopping that running game, and making them one-dimensional because the defenses want Brandon Allen to throw the ball. He's not the starter, you know, and that's kind of what's hurt. At least last week, that's what really hurt the Niners is they didn't have that threat of the passing game because they didn't have Purdy there. So, and I'll say this, like the Niners right now, 5-6, they could still lose this game and still be in the playoff race. But they can't lose another game after this. And even if they lose this game and they win out the rest of the season, that doesn't guarantee them a spot. That just gives them a shot to make the playoffs. So this is going to be intriguing to see how this game unfolds.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think I heard that if Buffalo wins this game,
they clinch the playoffs
already. Yep. December 1st.
The Chiefs, the Detroit Lions, and the Bills, if all three of them win their games, they clinch their playoff spots.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Another sickening stat.
With the
Buffalo Bills, fourth down conversions, they are first with converting 85.7% of the time.
It's pretty good percentage.
That is amazing. That's really good.
It's pretty good.
Like, holy crap, man. So this is going to be a tough matchup.
Good thing that
here.
You know, you don't have to go for it too many times on fourth down.
Yeah, so. I know, right? Well, you got Josh Allen, too, who's just a beast. You don't just give him the ball and rush it up there, though, too. So this is going to be a tough matchup. Oh, man, I want to say just even the 49ers here, but Josh Allen's been playing such good football, especially here at home under the lights. Man, this is tough. Is Brock Purdy – we don't know if he's going to be able to play, right?
Most likely he'll be back this week, yeah.
And Nick Bosa, too?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was only like a one-week thing for both of them. Even Charvarius Ward, I think he'll be back, too.
You know what? I'm rooting for San Francisco to back into it. Let's do it. Let's go with the 49ers on this one.
All right.
Why not?
I'm going to go Buffalo.
You're going to go Buffalo.
Because two reasons. One, West Coast team traveling the East Coast. It's going to be at night. Buffalo thrives in primetime games. Like, I really like what the Bills have, what they have going on. And I'm hoping to see Amari Cooper be a little bit more involved than what he has been. You know, he's been involved, but not to the standards that I was hoping once he got traded. I understand there was kind of like at that period where he needed to learn the playbook, needed to kind of get with chemistry with Josh Allen and all that, but I think now it's time to have like a breakout game as a Buffalo Bill. So give me the Bills in this one.
All right, here we go. And then if you win Monday this one, there you go. You got a game back here, and we're back to where we were.
Monday night. The game of the week.
Yes. They've been trying to hype it up here.
The two capital B teams.
Oh, man.
Browns and Broncos.
Yeah, Browns and Broncos.
In Denver.
Yep.
And you know what, Jim? The Denver Broncos have unveiled their navy blue alternative uniforms.
Navy blue. I didn't get to see them. Are they good?
I mean, if you saw the Chargers uniforms.
Oh, so it should be
it's just navy
like
blue
that.
Like
okay.
that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That could be cool.
It could be, but now I feel like they're copycats. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Chargers did it. Oh, yeah, we should do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is with us being here in Albany mm-hmm. and stuff, I haven't had the opportunity to watch a lot of the Denver games. I've been basically going off of highlights here and there. So, that being said, with this one, I am intrigued to be able to watch this game now and kind of get another assessment of Bo Nix, you know, throughout the full game, you know, and kind of see what I see here with this one. I think if Cleveland's defense comes to play like they did last week,
that's right.
This is going to be a lot closer of a game here and tight. And mm-hmm. so a lot of pressure will be on Bo Nix to get the victory here. But Denver at home, I think he can make some more plays with his legs than Jameis will. I think Jameis might just be teased into making some bonehead mistakes. He is the 30 for 30 pick, you know, touchdown pick guy. So I can see this defense kind of making him revert back to his old self. So
why
I
you gotta keep bringing that up about him, man? He's just, past
it's,
that.
It's the facts, man. He's you past never that. Get out of that. You
he's not 30 for 30 anymore.
Even the fans with that win, they went back to licking their fingers and making a W. So people never forget. They don't forget the old Jameis because they said that's who he is.
But he's not 30 for 30 anymore. He's
he's
not a Tampa Bay Buccaneer anymore. That was way back in the day.
I know, I get that. But I'm going to go with the Broncos. What about you?
I'm going to go with Denver, quite simply. Like, even if the Browns defense plays as well as they did, like they did the Steelers, I think that was kind of one of those things where, like, they just knew the other team so well that they knew how to navigate that game and get the win. The Broncos, this is going to be a different type of matchup. You know, you're facing, as good as the Steelers' defense is, the Broncos' defense is better. Mm-hmm. And I just think that they're not going to be able to overcome the Broncos' defense and the immense pressure they put on quarterbacks and running backs. And I think it's going to be too much for them to even come back from. Because even if, let's just say it's a defensive battle, I still give the edge to the Broncos' offense. Bo Nix has been playing so much better since week one, and he's grown right before the Broncos fans' eyes. So give me the Broncos beating the Browns. It shouldn't be that much of a surprise.
All right, Joe, there you go. There's our picks. Week 13 coming up. And, Joe, I have caught Stefania Bell. That's who we've been looking
at.
William Del Pilar's former colleague.
That's right.
We have caught her in the standings now, so we're moving.
Right.
Now we're looking to rip through everybody else. We're making our late
How far are we
here.
From, like, the top?
The top guy, we're still a lot. At least the guy on ESPN right now has 125 wins.
Are they picking all the games?
Bowen. Yeah, they're picking, like, all the games.
They are picking all
the
games.
Yes, they are.
All right.
They don't do the – sometimes, I know some guys pick, like,
they just pick the Sunday night game or the Thursday night or
– stuff. Nope. Yep, they're definitely doing them all. Okay. So a little bit to catch up. Because we had that slow start,
yes,
but we're making a late push, Joe. And
that's
we're,
right.
We're keeping
we're surging
right now.
We are surging right now.
We found our niche right now, where we found our comfort zone. So there you go, Art Joe. All right, so that's it. That's it for this week.
That's it.
Tell everybody one more time as we head out. If you guys are just watching us first,
no, I don't want to.
Vet Gaming, somebody else. If you're there, here Rumble, we see you out there.
We do Rumble.com. I mean, that was a pleasant surprise for a comment from there. The kudos to what was the name? It was something gaming.
Vet gaming.
So yes.
I'm guessing even really a veteran that loves the game, which is great.
And he loves the NFL game, so it all works out. But listen, to anybody else that's maybe tuning in now, maybe you just tuning in, really do appreciate all the interest, all the comments down below. It's been a lot of fun this episode, and you could join us in more fun next week, next Tuesday night. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's very easy. We want you to lock it in, okay? Become part of the Blitz Nation. Head over to YouTube, Rumblings Media, the channel there, and make sure you hit the subscribe button, the thumbs up while you're there. Why not? Share it to all your family and friends. And don't forget to comment down below because we are live. This is not a pre-recording. When we go live, we are really live. And we are here.
It's happening now.
And we will respond to your comments, whether it be an opinion, whatever it may be. Even tell us if you want to talk about something. We're down. We're 100% down. You can also show some love. Head over to grumblingsmedia.com, aka the G-Spot, and make sure You can check out all the great articles over there, other podcasts like ours. If you're not just into football, we got some basketball for you over there and what have you. Anything from sports, entertainment, political, it's all over there. And also, we are growing like crazy on YouTube. Don't forget, make sure you subscribe. We are at 3,800. We want to get to that 4,500 mark before the end of the season. You guys could be a great help by doing that and helping us out. And, yeah, there's more. Yeah, there's so much more. You can also take us on the go if you want to. You can listen to our beautiful golden voices on the way to the gym, on the way to work. And make sure you follow us anywhere you get your podcasts. Google, Pandora, Spotify, you name it. We're right there.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody. And we'll see you guys next time. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.